Okay. Not live, pre-recorded from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yeah. Coming to you from the fabulous Ruby Studio at 7815 Sunset Boulevard. And I want to say hello to my producer, Sammy Junior. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Dennis Olson is here today. Kathy St. George, our lovely co-hostess, is in Manhattan. New York is where I'd rather say. Collecting Maybelline. She's visiting her friends in the Big Apple, so she'll be back next week. Hey. Hi to Zach Herndon in Bloomington, Indiana. Hey,
Zach.
Our special guests today, returning for the third time, the lovely Lee Schirillo. And our special guest, S. Rachel Lovey, is here today. And we're going to get to say hello to these ladies more later. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Bob.
And hi, Lee.
Hello.
I want to start off with my usual, the Bob Dean Show, speaking only for myself. Yay. Does not support in any way Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they are crooks, nor the billing department at Tower Urology on 3rd Street because they are screwed up. And I will be in to talk to you, lady, again.
Piss on them.
Thank you very much. Doctor was great. Billing department is screwed up, you bloodsuckers. Anyway, that being said, let's see what else is going on. Don't have any. I'm working on some new comedy things here. Let you know about that. Not too much going on in that department. It's hot. The dog days of summer here in Los Angeles. It's whoosh in the 90s by the beach. That's horrible. Let's see. What's that?
Oh, I think it's Rachel's phone.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Isn't that an interesting sound, though?
Yes, it is. I thought it was a space alien.
Yeah.
Want to say hello to our lovely friend, Sunda Kroonquist, at the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood, next to Tootsie Rugs, and her lovely husband, Mark, and her family. And we are with you. And I guess that's really about – oh, yeah. This is my little convoluted commentary. Bicyclists and pedestrians, please take a little responsibility as well. Okay. I love it. Lately now, it's like when a bicycle, of course, bicyclists and pedestrians have the right of way, as they should. But, you know, take a little responsibility for yourself when you're like riding 2 inches from the car and then you give me a friggin' dirty look, right? No thoughts,
feedback. Save the attitude. I know how to
save
open
the
my
attitude.
Door real quick. Bam.
Yeah.
Share the road.
Share the road. Thank you. It's hard enough driving with a buzz. Just kidding. Never, ever, ever. All right. So let's get to this. Lee, how you been? Good to see you.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
We were talking earlier. You've been back and forth to Florida. You're going to Nashville.
Yep.
All my friends in Nashville who I know are listening to the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yeah.
And watching us on listening on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. And watching on YouTube, Lee is coming to Nashville, so I'm going to hook her up with some friends there. She's going to meet her sister. And Rachel, that's Rachel Lovey. Yay!
Yay!
We've been friends. I met Lee and Rachel, and I have done several stand-up shows together. And lovely friends. Last time I saw Rachel was at my birthday party at the Abbey, which is always a blast. And so we're going to get to know you a little bit better today. What is your gig, Gary? Where are you from?
I'm from Boston.
From Boston?
Yep, I'm from Boston, and then New York, and then L.A. And as a matter of fact, that's how that whole Woodstock story that I'm going to tell you is how I ended up coming to L.A. on a hippie bus.
On a hippie, okay.
Painted with clouds.
Because this is the 50th, as most anybody, everybody who's anybody who was, you know, over 40, I guess, knows that it's the 50th anniversary of the most incredible music festival of all time, August of 1969, Woodstock. And, well, it was actually like 30 miles out of Woodstock, New York.
Right. And it was never intended to be Woodstock, but Woodstock was always a folk festival that was happening.
I mean, what was it? I got the notes here, but it was Bethel, New York.
It ended up being there because, and this is controversial, everybody says this and that. They were supposed to be in Walk Hill. Interestingly enough, that's where they were supposed to be this year. As they did this year, they lost the venue, but for a different reason.
Yeah, it was canceled this year,
And it was canceled from Walk Hill in 69 because there were too many hippies. They'd make a mess, blah, 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 blah. I was in Bethel, New York for the summer to do a summer Stark Theater, and we did things like Uncle Vanya, Chekhov, and we did Pinto, and they said we did them in the nude. We never did Chekhov in the nude. We never do Chekhov in the nude. It's too much of a stress. Anyway, we read that that they couldn't have the festival at Walk Hill. We wrote them a letter and said that we're connected to, my producer wrote them the letter saying that we're connected to Max Yasker's farm. And it was
a dairy farmer,
great,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great place to hold the festival. But because it's the 50th and it was canceled already, everybody claims that they were the people that made the connection to Max Yasker's farm.
But so you are an actual original. What is that damn piano? Is that you too? Geez, Rachel, I mean, you were already invited guests. You didn't need to bring your own concerto.
I know.
Anyway, no, I didn't realize that you were such a direct influence on the actual production of the, you know, the venue itself on the farm and all. So how did you get involved in all that?
So we wrote them the letter.
Well, who's we?
My producer. We were
your theater group,
company,
correct?
Earthlight. Got that was doing. But we would when we practiced, we did yoga and we did Gurdjieff and whatever was very out there. But we were still doing traditional plays. Except we didn't do Alice in Wonderland. We did Alice tripping in Wonderland.
she hasn't come back, has she?
Right. And I played the Duchess. Anyway, so we heard that the townspeople of Walk Hill didn't want to have the festival. So my producer, creator, wrote them a letter, said that we were connected to Max Yasker's farm through our landlord, and the rest is history. Didn't I just repeat myself? But anyway, you can tell it.
Now, how many – I was researching a little bit over the internet, and there was an aerial picture – which really put it in perspective about, I mean, how many people were actually there?
That's something I, you know, I half just, a million, I think.
Yeah.
Half a million.
That's
half
why
million.
It became a free festival.
Yeah. They couldn't stop it. Yeah. And the funniest thing is that a week before the festival, they hired us to be the street theater at the festival. So we had to do our own crazy stuff. They hired us to be the street theater at the festival. And we were paid $1,000, by the way, $300 more than Shanana. But anyway,
awesome.
Hired us to be the street theater at the festival. And a week before the festival, we were rehearsing and we were on STP. Has anybody ever heard of STP?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had never heard. I still haven't heard of it, except in terms of what do you associate that with STP? With car transmission.
Yeah, exactly.
And we blessed.
The red and black sticker
exactly.
That I had on my
oil
notebook.
So it's apparently a cousin of LSDs of some kind. And we blessed the space, as you do when you're on STP. We blessed the space and the rest is history. And then, of course, years later, I said, my God, we actually blessed the space. And my co-creators of Earthlight brought in Swami Satchidananda, and we were dressed just like Satchidananda with gold robes. Only underneath the gold robes, we had tie-dye loincloths that were painted to make us look like they were naked. We were naked. And that's why in Ang Lee's movie, he really put us in there, but he had us naked all the time. We just looked naked. Terrible looking costumes, but, and as a matter of fact, let's see if I can not schmooze this up too much. You can see why they thought we were naked. Because these were the costumes.
Oh, it does look like you're naked.
These were the costumes. Of course, the guys didn't have the little bras that the ladies
did. Can you hold that up a little bit towards the camera there?
Sure. Oh, and then, yep, the guys, and there's the big sign, Earthlight. So we worked.
And Earthlight was your theater.
Theater. And we worked actually in the crowds with Tim Harden, particularly who committed suicide. But we worked in the crowds and we would do.
And what did you, I was going to say, you guys worked the crowds doing.
Doing what they call pieces rather than sketches or skits. Did you ever hear pieces?
Mm-mm.
So if they were called pieces and they were like, we would distill a spiritual idea like love. And then we became football players doing a love routine and we did a football love routine. And then we had a word, one word, mine. And we created mine. We created birth.
So wait, you're tripping on STP and you're working the crowd basically.
Yeah.
And you're working the crowd
with
snippets of creative improv theater pieces, basically.
Yes.
Inspirationally, to thousands and thousands of other young people who are tripping as well.
Yes. I'm just
picturing this in my mind. It's friggin' fabulous. you know?
Well, it was mumbled. I only did acid once. Too often. And, and I just, you know, the truth of the matter is that expression, if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. I do remember doing all this. And I remember the great people singing. And that you, like, you felt you couldn't get higher, but Sly and the Family Stone took you higher. And then I remember particularly afterwards when everybody left, we were part of the cleanup. And
what was that like?
That was unbelievable because the mud, you know, you heard about all the rain and how bad right. The weather was. The mud had fossilized everything. So in addition to the fact that it was such a groovy, important event that we didn't really know that it was fossilized right afterwards because of the mud. I'm sorry?
What is fossilized?
You know, in mud, it's like the mud.
Butt prints.
Yeah. The mud gets.
Orgy, dry. like Pompeii kind of esque.
Oh right. And the orgies, if I may say so, there was orgies. Now I was still a reluctant hugger at the time, so I just hung out at the orgies and listened to all that moaning and groaning, and that was pretty smart.
Was there really a lot of free love? I mean, actual, sexual activity going on as much as they claimed that there was?
There was certainly a lot of nudity. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people were nude, and people did too much drugs. And so, but instead of like, you know, what was that one with the Rolling Stone? They had the Hell's Angels Altamont as the security.
Yeah.
The security was the hog farm, because that was the only security that they needed, was that people, basing out on too much drugs. And they had a tent and they brought everybody down and we were only 10 minutes. Our theater site was 10 minutes from the festival. That weekend, it was a 16-hour drive.
To go.
Is it
fueled by STP?
Fueled by lots of STP. And then where we were, and as a matter of fact, in this hotel, El Monaco Hotel, and he had a barn that we converted to this theater that we were there all summer long. And then for those 3 days of Woodstock, and also they put it together in Bethel about 2-3 weeks before it, because they had that other festa, that other location, which they lost. And that's why this year, till last week, Michael Lang thought he would be able to put it together again.
Well, now, I'm sorry I wasn't following all of that, but so they up until last week, the 50th anniversary was a go.
But that was just one festival. The other thing they do in Bethel, New York, Max Yasker eventually died. And I think he left the property to the town of Bethel, his farm. I don't know, he left it or he sold it. And they have, all year long, they have events. And they are having a smaller festival. And Santana is one of the people. And I hope to be there in October. But Santana, that's an authentic Woodstock festival.
Now,
but the producer is not involved with that, to my knowledge.
Now, you said you, so what were you, 17, 18 at this time?
Something like that.
Okay.
I the thing is, what's so wonderful, it gives me an out, because I never tell my age. But what I do is I say to people, I performed at Woodstock. You do the math. And that gives me an out. Because, you know, a lot of people were just too, were you too young to be at Woodstock?
No. My sister was there.
Your sister was there?
Was she really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she was. The Woodstock now, what are they going to do? Wheel them in wheelchairs, though?
Wheelstock?
I can't. Right, Wheelstock.
Yeah, the headlining act is Jefferson Wheelchair.
Jefferson anyway.
But playing at Jefferson Rest Home.
But that's what's so terrific, that they keep celebrating it, because soon, if they keep doing it, look what happened. World War II people, and they kept getting the people that survived World War II, the soldiers, smaller and smaller and older and older, till there's practically nothing. To me, that is so fascinating.
Yeah, it is, and it's weird, too, because, on that note, Yeah, I remember as a kid, you know, my mother or whatever discussing this and this and saying, never heard of it, never even thought about it. Now, you know, discussing stuff and, you know, people, kids that are 30 and 40 are like, never heard of Woodstock or never heard of, and, you know, this person.
We're the Beatles.
We've been discussing a lot of the movie, that's the real hot movie right now. Once Upon a Time in L.A.
Yeah, how was that?
Oh my God,
it's incredible.
Really,
first movie I've ever seen in all of my years that we've seen it twice in 1 week. And I'm not even that big of a Quentin Tarantino fan, but I'm fascinated by, and I'm not a morbid person, but the whole Sharon Tate and Lena Rose, the whole Manson thing.
See, part of the thing did I talk about it to you when the first time we met, went back in the Comedy Store? I didn't even talk about it because it was associated, hippies, because don't forget, what happened is that they paid us $1,000, we bought a bus, we traveled around the country for 2 years, then we went off Broadway. But while traveling around the country, hippies were not, hippies from California particularly, we were from California by this time, and hippies were like out, mainly because of that Manson family and everything else. And we, to give you an idea of what this company was like, it was as if Charles Manson and his group studied yoga with the Dalai Lama instead of evil with the devil worship. Because and that's the thing, is that the whole Woodstock experience, there was a feeling of commitment to, we are connected. It's not just that peace and love, which gets a little cliched. And eventually the whole thing got so cliched when Coca-Cola is doing day glow colors and, you know, love the world. You know, then it got very cliched. But the idea of being
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And Bert is here. But the idea of being connected, that we are all one.
Pepsi.
And, you know. And eventually, that's one of the things that we did. We would gather with people, and we'd do Om, Shanti Boom Boom. No, we'd do Om. And the feeling is that we went all over the country afterwards to different colleges and stuff, and we'd gather everybody in the theater together. And we did it at the Improv, even, big circle, and go Om. And the thing is why it wasn't stupid, because people, that was the thought. We are one. We are all connected. And I think it's a good it's a good rap.
Well,
today.
That's how you were saying, or that you ended up coming on a hippie bus.
Right.
What's a hippie bus? Was it like the Partridge Family tie dye?
Like the great what
bus?
Was it?
No, I mean, I want to know.
Test
people argued that there were no clouds. To me, there were clouds, but it might have been in my imagination. But basically,
too much STD.
Yeah, too much STD. But basically, I say a hippie bus because we traveled on the bus. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't just, you know, a bus. And we lived on it.
It was a caravan.
We traveled. It was a caravan. Exactly. That's a gorgeous word, caravan. Yeah. And we traveled on it. And we took out the chairs and
But I'm asking, was it an old school bus?
Yes, or, it was.
Okay, it was an old school bus. Okay.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
School bus.
And you took out the?
We took out the thing and they made like platforms. And then when we were in New York doing the theater, we did the same thing in the dressing room. We took out everything and made, you know, flats for people to, and we slept. I remember one time we slept in the theater.
Well, do you remember, now when you and the gang made it out to California, do you remember where your first stop was? And was it Los Angeles?
It was in Los Angeles. Oh, it was a place called the Chicken Farm. And basically, all the canyons were so wonderful. It was before it got tainted by, you know, evil and murder. It was called the Chicken Flats, and you'd probably know the people, but I do not remember who they were. And then we stayed in Hollywood, and then we went there. After all this experience, there's only one place we felt we could stay, which was what? After all that, Venice. And we built a theater in Venice, and we were there for a year.
Venice has such a fascinating history, too, and for being, you know, Abbot Kinney building and, you know, and the canals. And then, you know, it was the, you know, artist community in the 50s. And you know, and you could up until then, it was just so inexpensive to live there and that sort of thing.
I left in 75 in an apartment, a mini apartment that I was kind of split level with somebody else, $50 a block away from the beach.
In 1975?
75.
Man.
Oh, my God. You know, and that's crazy. I just shudder to think of it because, and now, of course, it's Venice is all gentrified. And what was that? We went.
There's no place like that left.
Listen, we went. There's what's the Roosterfish? It's the gay bar. All right. And it's on Abbot Kinney. And when I first moved to this, to the first bar, when I first moved to LA that I went to, you know, gay bar that I went to, and it's this really cool old freestanding building on Abbot Kinney. And it was just like this locals hangout, right? You know, there's like old people sitting at the bar and cold beer and blah, blah, blah. It was cool. You know, and I met some really, you know, people of all ages, and I had heard they had closed and blah, blah, blah. So we went there. It was right before Christmas. Hadn't been in there in years, and I heard they had closed, right? It is the most gentrified, cliche, gentrified bourgeois. I want, and Dennis and I are like, you know, it was chilly for LA standards. And, you know, I'm like wearing a pea coat and he's on. There are these queens running around in ski attire, like with the goggles and shit. And you know, and like the people behind the bar were just like, I can't tell you how bourgeois it was, just like, and we were laughing. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, this is, it's right out of a movie. How horrible everybody was. And they're like, and. And I'm like, oh my gosh, for the short period of time I've been in LA, even this strip, you know, and all the galleries, all the little galleries and stuff that made it, they're all gone. It's a restaurants and restaurants and restaurants and restaurants and restaurants, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but $50 a month, yeah, in 1975.
Talking about gay, what we were called is mixed orientation because we were gay and straight. And the gay fellas, is that the correct? I have to be very politically correct. People jump on me these days. The two of them that were the most handsome, still had a little thing for ladies, or maybe it was just the culture that. And yeah, so those are the two fellows that I made out with. But I did have a what do you call
that's
it?
Real deal.
Yeah.
Did you ever run across the Cockettes?
Oh yes, I lived with them in San Francisco.
I knew. One of them.
What was the name?
Venus. I knew Venus.
Venus, right, right.
He gave me a pair of platform tennis shoes.
Right.
That was like
the Cockettes.
But I did have a
six. Yeah. Only on the Bob Dean Show. Right. Yay.
Yeah, the Cockettes.
Seriously.
So
what about
great.
The Whiz Kids?
Now, what were the Cockettes?
You remember the Whiz Kids? A troupe?
Vaguely.
They were like from Seattle and then, okay.
But I did, I stayed with
them. Tomato DiPlani.
Yes, I do know that name. I do, what do you call it? I did, the Cockettes were great.
They were.
They were great.
They were a gay comedy dance music troupe.
And they marched, too. I remember marching with them somewhere. I don't know. It was San Francisco was
wild.
Wild, wild.
It was. Back then,
it was. It was. And Venice, I caught Venice right at the tail end when it was still hip enough and just on the edge of the funk. Just on the edge of that funk.
You know what amazes me is that guy with the roller skates, the guitar, and the turban. I saw him there in 77, and I just went by there the other day. 40 years later, he's still cruising around.
I know.
I'm like, oh my God, that guy's still alive? 40 years later, that's amazing.
I would have gone up to him.
He's just cruising around.
I had a boyfriend there that took wonderful pictures.
Wow.
And this was me.
That's nice.
And then people say, you were so beautiful. I said, I was? How come nobody told me?
Well, you still are. But yeah, especially black and white, it's striking. Lovely.
This was kind of a Woodstock. This was a picture that went out to the galleries. And he was all over Europe and everything else. And this was, I don't know, it was Earthlight or Woodstock Chick. But anyway, I have a blog.
There's one I saw that you were flipping through. It's a close-up of you, and you're looking this way. I'd like to see that. Can you
find that? That's a I don't know. Oh, but this is the these are the clothes. There's the ladies with the bras, with the tie-dye bras. You can tell the whole costume.
You reminded me of Grace Slick in that last picture.
Exactly. That's exactly. I thought that I was Janice. Looked like I wanted to be Janice.
Yeah.
But everyone said that I looked like Grace Slick. Yeah. Grace Slick.
Love Janice. Man.
And Janice was, oh, Jesus. But you know who was also a big hit? Joan Baez at the festival. because she was so personable and so real, you know, in terms of her commitment anti-war and to yeah. just, and she would also go around the crowds and have groups of people doing folk songs in addition to being on the stage. And of course, Jimi Hendrix blew everybody away. And Crosby, Stills, and Nash was their first time performing together, I think. Maybe they had one or really? Two other gigs. Yeah. It was their first time performing together, so they did. But
and The Who was
the
there.
Who, yeah, The Who.
And, you know, we've had on the Bob Dean Show, yay, Shel Talmy has been on twice, along with our friend J.D. Hinton. Shel Talmy discovered the Kinks and The Who
in
London.
I saw The Who at the Day on the Green in Oakland.
Yeah.
They played with the Grateful Dead.
Who?
The Who on the Dead.
Who?
What?
10 minutes.
Oh.
Time flies on
no
the Bob
way.
Dean Show. Yeah.
That was the shortest one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've tripped on acid twice in my life. And this is 30 when I was 22 when I first moved to Miami. And the first time was the most wonderful, glorious day of my entire life. I had fun from start to finish. And the second time was the worst. And I will never touch it again.
So
never, ever. What?
Yeah. Oh, acid is so
serious. How old were you?
I had a bad 22. And like I said, I did it with a friend of mine, and we started off at the beach. And it was the most – we had from 9 o'clock in the morning until that night. We didn't do anything but laugh. And we were all over, got thrown out of a Rolls Royce dealership. And we had a great, great day. But then the second time, like 3 months later, I was all excited. And it was the most horrific – you know,
did you ever do
experience?
Acid?
Well, see, what made me want to do acid when I was 11 was my big sister saying I had a bad trip and I was chased down the street by 6-inch red frogs with pitchforks. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. I want to try that. And by the time I was 12, I was doing acid, but I never had a bad trip.
You know, it's.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we did a national college tour between Woodstock and we went off Broadway and reviewed very, very well, by the way. And we joined with a rock and roll group called Pure Love and Pleasure. Now, that was really, it made it just even much cooler being, because then you had that rock and roll lifestyle as well. And just being around music all the time. But in terms of acid, we were supposed to be on the road for 6 weeks, but we're going to New York. So usually I took acid like a teetotaler. Took a little taste and wait a half an hour. You know, you cannot fool acid. Anyway, so when the engine on the bus broke down. So we, I don't know, in Arizona, like someplace,
oh my God.
Cold Staff, whatever those places are.
Man. The wheels on the bus go round and round.
Exactly. Wheels within wheels. And anyway, and the police are coming, and because the bus is broken down, a bunch of hippies. Now, what's better than the police bust a bunch of hippies, and a black guy is driving the bus. And I just felt at that time that my mind was leaving my body and going to the other side of the city. We're just in California. We hadn't even gotten out of California. My mind is going to the other side of the mountain, but my body is remaining in in this side of San Bernardino. And the police are there, you know, and everybody's going, shh, 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 Rachel, shh, 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 shh.
And it's going like this.
Shh, 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 shh. And they Barbara Wilder and Rick Peters talked me down, and we did not get arrested. We never got in any trouble. We just we would, you know, that our the name of the theater group was Earth Light. What could you protect yourself better with?
Let the sun shine.
Let the sun shine. We were like Hair, but the real McCoy, instead of putting a plastic, not a plastic, Hair was great. I mean, especially the music.
Whew. A real hippie, Rachel Lovey. It's Rachel Lovey.
That's right. Yeah. Dying breed.
Yes, a literally dying breed. Literally.
Well, I think, is it okay if you all, if we play a little round of Just Jump?
Yes, sure.
Our favorite Bob Dean. Yay, game show. Okay, now let's all be quiet while Dennis introduces it because it's my favorite thing.
Okay.
Let's play Just Jump.
Splat. Okay, now you're familiar with what I explained earlier. Mr. Olson reads questions from Amy Vanderbilt's 1957 Guide to Etiquette, and we, the panel, will put our noggins together and see if we come up with the correct answer.
Okay.
The dinner party is in progress, and one guest comes late. Must all the men rise for introductions?
Yes. If it's a formal sit-down table, the men should stand up briefly. You know, they don't have to stand up, but they should get their ass out of the chair, I say.
I agree.
Me too.
No. In the case of a woman guest, she slips quickly into her seat, indicated by the hostess, after being a brief greeting, and the man to her right alone rises from his
seat.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So particular.
Give us more. Give us more.
The hostess does not rise because all the men would have to rise with her.
Oh, see?
Okay.
Now, that's classy.
Yeah. Give us another one.
Well, considering now though it's all buffet and we stand around with Chinette plates. I mean, who's got a place big enough to have a big seating like that anyway? Go ahead.
If I'm an overnight guest in a house where there is no maid, should I strip the bed in the morning before leaving or leave it as it is?
Make it.
Strip it.
Leave it as it is.
Ask your hostess which she prefers.
Oh, that's tricky.
I know. If you are a good bed maker and have the time, you might ask her for clean sheets and make up the bed yourself in order to save her work.
Thank you, Amy.
Oh.
Not me.
I'm going to offer to do her laundry. I don't know what you're talking about.
I make the bed at home like once a year.
Me too.
Got Christmas Eve before the guests get there for the party.
That's yep.
Okay. Next.
One of the girls in our shop was recently married, and we men gave gifts that were beyond our means.
Wait. Start again.
One of the-
Oh, wait. No, wrong one. Will you please say something about the preposterous incorrectness of a host and hostess collecting a fee from their guests to help defray the cost of a party to which the guests were invited?
What do you want from us? Is that good or bad?
No, well,
crass and
actually,
tacky.
It's not. You know what? It's not that kind of question, is it? It just says, will you please say something about the preposterous incorrectness of a host and hostess collecting a fee from their guests to help defray the cost of the party to which the guests were invited?
Cheap ass.
She says, I can't imagine that myself. I can imagine that among quite young married couples, that the cooperative party, people might be asked to bring their own drinks and food.
Yeah, it's like BYOB.
Right. Should you be know, announced before that it's a BYOB.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's asking about them charging the money to cover.
Yeah, we don't like that.
Oh, no, I'm no. That's going. Even no. I know. Uh-huh. That's in bad
taste. No, yeah. Why invite people now, to a party and expect money?
If it's some kind of like big old
to help defray costs.
Pool party, keg party,
she
something.
She should be having the party. You know, she can't afford it.
That's right.
Crackhead.
Crackhead.
Oh, your mama crackhead.
That's why. At the Happy Birthday Baby Jesus Christmas Eve soiree at my house, which is a fucking kick-ass party every year. It's a benefit for the...
Are we having it again this year?
Well, hopefully.
No.
No. Well, I don't know.
I'm just joking.
I mean, who the hell are you to say no?
Why? Do you get stuck cleaning up?
Why do you think I keep that station wagon?
No, I don't know.
Oh, my God, man. It's the next day. It sucks.
Yeah. Wait until long to get everything done.
Well, you know, two years ago,
it's still fun, so it's worth it.
The prime rib roast, I love telling the story because 2 years ago, I was so smashed. And, you know, they've been to my palatial apartment. It's about as big as this room. But the party's always so much fun. It really is.
It was fun when I was there.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, 2 years ago, I got it like a $175 prime rib roast. I got it on sale. That's the only reason why, because I have them on sale at Ralph's. And I seasoned it beautifully, and I put it in the oven, and it was about midnight, because I do a lot of cooking. And I'll never forget Linda Sear Gordon goes, I smell something burning. And, of course, I'm smoking a cigarette. And it was, like, right out of the cartoons. I open the oven, and it's, like, burnt to a crisp. And I take it out, and it's, like, the smoke's coming off of it and everything. And, I mean, I hacked it up and put it out, you know.
I smelled something burning.
So last year, last Christmas, I bought the same roast, and Andrew Rosen, the guy that lives down, your buddy that lives downstairs, you know, he was out of town, so, you know, I've always had the generosity of one out-of-town neighbor to use their kitchen.
Right.
So I go down to start cleaning up, you know, from and I go down, and of course I'm like hungover and shit. I open the refrigerator, and there's that beautiful rose. I didn't even put it in the oven this year.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, have a drink.
I swear, but the rest of the great, you know, I make all this great food and everything,
that's,
you know.
So funny.
But I completely forgot. All right, we are out of time. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Is episode 79.
Wow.
Yay. Woo. Of the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
I want to thank special guest and hippie, S. Rachel Lovey, for being here. I hope you'll come back and see us again.
I hope you'll invite me.
And Lee Shirillo, like I said, Nashville friends, I'm going to be hitting you up. So Lee is going to be coming to visit in Nashville. She's familiar. Dennis, Sammy, and let's see what else. Episode 79, la, 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 la. Please, please, please download us on your phones and
subscribe. Come on. I'm just trying to help you. I'm
Thank
not going to take
appreciate
over.
That.
I love dead silence.
I know. I'm just playing with you, dude.
Yeah.
Dead air. Yeah. Dead air. Ah, Fraser, you're on the air. Anyway, no, thank you, buddy. I'm just playing around. iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, please download us, subscribe to us. It gives us credits, and it makes us look good. And we are at over 20,000 downloads. Yay! And growing. YouTube, and the show will come out on Friday, blah, 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 blah. That's it. Love you guys very, very much. Thank you. Happy anniversary, Woodstock. Rachel, thank you for coming and telling us about it. And it's really cool that you were there, and it's really interesting.
We learned stuff.
Yeah. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you, Bob.
Yay.
Thank you, Sammy.